good news today, Lee, if there's any good news.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, 65 years in Tampa. Bill Curry Ford, serving the community, family owned by the Curry family, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you can start shopping. That's where you can learn about the largest service department in Florida, 100 loaner vehicles, mobile service at your home, and you can see their incredible 0% financing offers, many, many other low interest rate offers, great lease deals. It's a great time to buy a vehicle. The September offers will not last forever. BillCurryFord.com. That's where you can find General Manager Sean Sullivan. He is a huge Bucks fan. He loves Bucks fans. He's got the Ira Kaufman discount in his pocket, ready to hand it to you. And you can mention Joe Bucks fan as well, either one. Their website is excellent as well. So you can look at all the inventory, 600 plus vehicles, and check it out. They're a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, BillCurryFord.com. And we've got a great podcast for you today. Appreciate you checking in. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, Reddit, JoeBucksFan.com, many other platforms. We appreciate the many thousands of subscribers and all of you who just listen on the website or listen when you feel like it. Everybody listening, we appreciate it. The ongoing and tremendous support no matter when the podcast posts. We also appreciate Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. If you have mold, you call them immediately before you call your insurance company. You find water damage. Ira's the water damage whisperer. You call them immediately. You mention Joe Bucks fan. You get a free inspection regardless. And if you need to move forward, if you need to hire them to restore your property or do a complete restoration and rebuild, Florida's Elite Restoration will give you $500 back. Again, if you just mention Ira or Joe Bucks fan when you first call. But more important, they are top-notch when it comes to quality. Owner Josh Martin takes great pride in 5-star Google reviews across the board. Check those out. And they're also family-owned, serving the entire Tampa Bay area, across the state as well, east over to Orlando and beyond. Florida's Elite Restoration. Get educated if you have fire damage, mold damage, storm damage, whatever it is. Get to their website, floridaseliterestoration.com. See what they do, see why they're the best, and see what they offer. So you're ready. You can put them right in your disaster plan. floridaseliterestoration.com. Now, Ira Kaufman, Lee D. Kemper of JoeBucksFan.com. We're shooting right over to the stadium last night after they soaked in the locker room and everything else for them to hit their reactions here. And, of course, we'll be back later in the week on the Ira Kaufman Podcast. Here are the boys.
Special teams. Now, it's ridiculous for me to rag on special teams on a day when Chase McLaughlin set an NFL record for an outdoor kick. But the special teams is going to kill this team. They've been terrible week one. They've been terrible in week two. They've been terrible in week three. And then today, that was the ball game. A return punt for 7 points.
The irony is certain parts of the special teams are doing well. McLaughlin's been tremendous the last 2 weeks. I can't fault him for the blocked field goal attempt against the Jets. Their problems are in blocking for kicks. It's a major problem. Cameron Johnson's doing a great job returning punts. He's averaging 15 and a half yards a punt return. You know, last year they averaged 8 yards a punt return. So they've really improved in that area, but you're right. Thomas McGahey, the special teams coordinator, I think he's under the gun right now. Now look, they're not going to make a change in week five or something.
No.
And they're probably not going to make a change during the season.
Agreed.
But he's not distinguishing himself. And whether you want to blame Riley Dixon for having a slow, methodical release on his punts, they got to block better. I mean, the guy's going right up the middle. Nothing fancy's going on. And they're not blocking it. It almost cost them the Jets game. And it was a big factor in today's game.
If Riley Dixon really is that slow with his setup, shouldn't have that been noticed, or something should have been adjusted back in July when they started training camp?
You know how these teams are, Lee. They time everything down to the last decimal point. Mm-hmm. They know how long a normal punt should get off the ground, just like they know your release point as a quarterback. You get it out in 2.4 seconds. If they thought Dixon had a problem, they should have fixed it in training camp.
Oh, not even signed him.
Now they're stuck with him. I don't think he's putting that well either.
Okay.
I thought there were a couple of
shanks
today. That didn't help. I mean, the Bucs did a lot of things well, Lee. I mean, the second half defense was, I called it spectacular. I don't think that's an overstatement. Philly did nothing. absolutely nothing after intermission. By the way, you got to give McLaughlin his due, Lee. I mean, 65 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, not 55, 65. He is incredible from 50 yards and out, except for that little mini slump he had.
I was watching binoculars. I thought surely that was short. And Rock Riley, who was sitting to my right, thought the same thing. But I guess it barely got over the crossbar.
It barely got over the crossbar.
You always bring this up. And I think I wrote a story about this on joebucksfan.com. Bucks' third down conversion rate. 3 of 13, I think. It was 12%.
Now, Philly was 5 of 14. But we're taking this from a Buck perspective. 1 for 7 in the first half. You know, Mayfield had no rhythm in the first half.
No.
None.
And it wasn't like he didn't have blocking.
You're right. I thought the protection was very good. I watched Wirfs a lot today. I didn't see him get beat.
Was he normal, Tristan?
Normal Tristan Wirfs, which is great news for the Bucks going forward. I don't think Buck fans should wring their hands, Lee, over a game like this. You know, they're going to look at lost opportunities with the Irving fumble.
There were many.
Field interceptions. There were many. But we thought the Eagles were going to win. The problem was they didn't seem ready to play the Bucks at the beginning of the game.
They did not. Offensively, for sure, they didn't. Well, you know what? Even defensively, Servassier Dennis played like his head was on Mars or something. I just remember back this summer, whenever you brought it up with Jason Light or with Todd Bowles about inside linebackers, it was the same message. I give him credit. It was consistent. But the same message, we like our linebackers. I'd like to find out if they like them now. And I'm not counting Levante David, but Servassier Dennis in particular.
You know, a big point of emphasis, Lee, all summer long, between you, me, and Steve was, we can't wait to see a healthy Servassier Dennis and see what he does out there, especially in coverage, because we know what KJ Britt could not do in coverage, and that cost the Bucks dearly last year.
Yeah.
I've been disappointed in Dennis. I think that's an understatement. He's not making any big plays, and he looks shaky in coverage.
To his credit, it seems like once he gets in the flow of the game, he gets better.
He's not bad on rush defense. He's helping. He's helping.
Well, initially I want to say yes, but twice today when Dallas Goedert got those two shovel passes, he ran right by him. Ran right by Servassier Dennis. Like, goodness gracious. Someone wrote on joebucksfan.com, a commenter, he wrote that Servassier Dennis this year looks like a faster KJ Britt.
That's not a compliment.
No, but it's not that far off base.
You know, Lee, speaking of those Goddard, I think one was 2 yards, one was 5 yards.
Yes.
They burn you once. They shouldn't burn you twice. That shouldn't happen twice.
And twice he ran
Eagles
right by them.
Eagles are rejoicing on the sidelines. By the way, they weren't the only ones rejoicing, along with 25,000 Philly fans.
At least.
At least.
Yeah.
At least.
I know.
And we saw it walking in, Lee. We knew what was going to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
We saw it walking in.
When I was walking in, I thought it was like half to be. Honestly, for a second, I'm like, am I drunk? Am I in Philadelphia? It was that many.
You don't see it when the division teams come in. You don't
No.
see it in Atlanta, New Orleans, or Carolina.
No.
But sure enough, here comes Philly. Here come the Giants, you know, when they show up, the Bears, and of course the Steelers. Of course.
Well, you know what? The way I can compare today's game was as far as Eagles-Bucks fandom, a percentage. I remember, for a lot of reasons, I remember this. 2010, the Bucks were 2-0. Raheem had brashly said, we're the best team in the league. Well, he wasn't lying. They were tied ahead for the best record. And I remember Ross Tucker, then of NFL Radio, he kept saying, wait till you play the big boys. And the big boys, as in the Steelers, came to town. And with Charlie Batch, of all people, throttled the Bucks. But I remember the Steelers fans in their terrible towel-waving ways took over the stadium. Absolutely took over the stadium.
And I remember a game against Denver about 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a rainy, you know, by the end of the game, it was pouring out. The only people in the stands were Bronco fans. And they all came down from the top deck. You remember
that
thing?
And they sat behind the bench.
And Denver won the game.
Yeah, there was a rain delay. Jameis was quarterback.
Here's the good news today, Lee, if there's any good news. I'm not sure the Bucks were outplayed. I'm not sure.
Early on, they were.
I think that block punt sent a terrible tone.
Yes.
Terrible tone.
Yes.
Got the Philly crowd into this game. You know, and Buck fans were dismayed by these special teams gaffes, and I don't blame them. But, Lee, they had 376 yards. The other teams got, you know, 200.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so they can play with the big boys. But, Lee, this special teams thing, it's getting serious. It's really getting serious.
It's costing them points. You play a team like Philly, that's going to cost you a game, which it did today.
No takeaways today. They Hurts didn't do much, but he didn't turn the ball over.
Speaking of takeaways.
And they did a good job on Barkley. I mean, a marvelous job on Barkley.
Yeah.
Except on a play that you and I thought was going to be a tush-push, They give it to Barkley.
Ran around left-hand. Yeah.
You'll never see a running back with more running room than that play. Did you see a buck in the picture?
No, because they all thought it was coming up the middle. Yeah. You mentioned two things about Barkley, and I have to go back to Servasio Dennis. That play when Hurts took off running around the right end, and Servasio Dennis had no clue he had the ball, and it looked like Jalen Hurts was actually chasing Servasio Dennis. Servasio Dennis had his back to the line
of scrimmage. Must have been in man coverage, had his back to
oh my gosh, I haven't seen anything that bad since the high school.
And then, of course, he's going to outrun Vita Vea to the sideline. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. Vita Vea played a very good game.
They did.
Very good game.
But I just remember that play with Servasio Dennis, which just looked for the ball once in a while. But, I mean, my goodness.
How about your rookie receiver over there, Lee? The guy you've been talking about, I believe before the draft you started talking about Igbuka. Does he have a knack of finding the end zone or what?
Well, that
and I thought they had two guys boxing him in over there.
That's it. I don't know if you saw the replay or not, the end zone angle.
I still don't know exactly what happened.
No, I don't know how it was like a magician.
Anybody touch the ball? Anybody tip it?
It sure didn't look like it, but it looked like Mayfield was some kind of magician or something, the way he squeezed that ball in there. You're talking about threading a needle. That was threading a needle.
And Lee, you know, we got to be fair to Bucky Irving. He fumbled. That's the second big fumble as a Buck, the one in Atlanta, hurt in week 5 last year when the Bucks were winning. He fumbled and Atlanta ended up winning in overtime. Remember, Levante mm-hmm. had just gotten the interception.
Mm-hmm.
And today was a big one. But Irvin, he is an incredible receiver. He's better than White, and White's outstanding.
Ooh, I don't know about
White's outstanding, Lee, but...
I mean, as a ball catcher, maybe.
I don't think White can go 72 yards with a pass.
I don't know if you've seen him actually run that route before.
And by the way, you know who he got passed on that play? Jihad Campbell,
ooh.
Who redeemed himself with the interception.
Yeah.
He had the interception. He's going to be a good player.
Yes, he is. The Bucky Irving fumble. Did you think that was a fumble?
I thought it easily could have been overturned.
Flip of the coin kind of play?
Yeah, flip of the coin. The Bucks didn't get too many breaks from the officials, but the Eagles had a lot of penalties today.
They did. It should have been holding against Chris Godwin. Not against him, but on him. When a guy grabbed his t-shirt?
That was obvious.
How could you not throw a flag there? How could they, all those referees, miss that? I don't know. I mean, that's disgraceful on the NFL's part. That's disgraceful. Now, and
it's hard to miss that. It's hard to miss that.
Everybody in the stadium saw that. My goodness. It wasn't like he grabbed him and camouflaged it. It was like 4 feet from the game. It was like a cartoon.
Yeah.
But you know what? A commenter, not on Joe Buck's fan, but on Twitter, said something very salient about that.
Salient?
Yeah, salient about that. He said, where are the coaches to tell these players to tuck their shirts in? And I remember that in high school. Tuck your shirt in. And so that's a fair point. But still, I mean, that was so obvious. It's like, if I was a coach, I'd go bananas. Like, when did you guys go to the optometrist the last time? This is crazy.
What do you think the emphasis is going to be on this week? Not in terms of specifically playing the Seahawks, but like from a Buck perspective, you think Bowles is all over the special teams?
I mean, well, two things, and I want your response on this. One, I would say special has to be on special.
Has to be.
Has to be. Because that's right now, that is the glaring issue with this team. And the other, I would hope, third down offense.
Up until this game, Grizzard wasn't bad on third down. Not too bad. Bad today, no question about it, especially in the first half. And it wasn't like they were third and 14s, all the time. Correct me if I'm wrong, Lee, but in terms of getting kicks blocked, I don't think that's been a problem for this franchise.
I can't remember
over
being this
years.
Bad.
It's not a chronic problem.
I can't remember being this bad ever. And we're talking every game there's something happening.
Where's the interior blocking on these kicks?
Now, Bowles did say something, which I gave him the benefit of the doubt initially, not anymore. He's like, oh, we've had so many injuries at offensive line. We've got guys coming and going. Well, quit having them coming and going. You know, stick on some specific guy.
Speaking of injuries, Lee, another rough one today.
For the corners.
Now, I talked to Reddick in the locker room. He said he's going to be fine for Seattle. He's not worried at all. That was a possible concussion mm-hmm. with him. I believe one of them was a pectoral injury.
Yeah.
Those are serious.
Yeah. Greg Gaines. That's bad.
That's bad. That's
yeah, because he's a good defensive tackle.
I thought Morrison made some plays.
Until he got hurt.
And now he's got a hamstring.
Yeah.
And here goes Dean. And in your famous line in August, Dean's going to have that job until he gets hurt, when he gets hurt.
Yeah.
And then Morrison might take it. Well, I don't know who's going to line up at right corner in Seattle.
Would you put Parrish up there?
I would.
I think he's a ball player.
I would put Parrish out there.
I think he's a ball player.
And then fill in somewhere on the nickel,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Find someone in
maybe Izzy will be ready. Maybe.
Todd Bowles more than a couple times said that Parrish shouldn't play outside. Well, now's as good a time as any to prove it. And I think he will. I think he's a ball player.
You know, Lee, 3-1. You know, they got three tough games coming up. I said if they could go 2-2 in these four games, it wouldn't be a bad thing at all, being 5-2. Well, Now you got to go 2-1. Don't get into a streak. Don't lose to Seattle, and now all of a sudden you got a losing streak. Mm-hmm. And the Niners are, you know, average, maybe a little bit better. And we know what Detroit is. So they got to start faster, Lee. They got to start faster.
Seattle's vulnerable. They're not they're good. They're not great.
They got one good receiver. One really good receiver.
Niners, even before the season, I thought they were overblown. I think the Bucs can hang with them. It'll be difficult, but they can hang with them. You know what? Before the season, Ira, if you were told any Bucs fan, you're going to lose Wirfs for X amount of games. You're going to lose Godwin. You're going to lose Evans. All these offensive linemen are going to be gone.
You're going to lose Kancey.
You're going to lose Kancey. And you're going to be 3-1. Would you take it? Every Bucs fan you know, we're like, yeah, 3-1. Okay, great. Well, here we are, 3-1.
I almost thought at the end that they were going to pull it out. Like,
yeah.
Now, if they scored a touchdown, they would have needed the 2-point conversion, which I think most teams complete at about a 40% clip, but you still have a chance. Mm-hmm. That Mayfield pick, Lee, what did you notice about it?
Real quick, then I want your feedback.
Was he late on the pass? Was the guy, Godwin open?
He looked like he tried to force it to Otten. And Otten may have fallen down, I'm not sure. But you don't try to, that was the second down, wasn't it? I'm not going to jump on Mayfield because the Bucs wouldn't be 3-1 without Mayfield. There's no doubt about it. So, I mean, it's irresponsible to jump on Mayfield. But clearly, I don't think that pass should have been thrown. He should have just thrown it out of bounds, lived the fight another down. That doomed him, basically. That doomed him.
By the way, Lee, I was watching Otten from a blocking perspective. Mm-hmm. He's doing a good job. He's doing a real good job. I don't want to dwell on him, not putting up big receiving mm-hmm. numbers, because right now, with Heck and Haggard playing, you know, I think his role has changed a little bit, so I got to cut him some slack.
Out of necessity?
Yeah.
Your thought on that Baker Mayfield pick?
You know, based on what he did the first 3 weeks, I thought he was going to squeeze it into the end zone. and then, you know, it's up to the 2-point conversion. Mm-hmm. And then all the pressure's on Philly. Because they hadn't done anything mm-hmm. on offense. Mm-hmm. You know, the only time they scored was off the Irving fumble, mm-hmm. you know, with the short field. If you're an Eagle fan, you're 4-0. I understand that. I don't like their offense. I don't like the Eagles' offense. A.J. Brown is a mystery man. What's going on with him? He's an elite receiver.
I don't want to dwell on the Eagles because obviously the Bucs fans, they'd want to punch an Eagles fan in the mouth rather than listen to us talk about the Eagles. But
It's a shame they fell behind 14-0 because I think for most of the game, the Bucs were the better team.
Certainly in the second half. I gather the Eagles fans are very upset with their offensive coordinator, a first-year guy. They don't like him.
But they're 4-0, Lee.
And 4-0. The Bucs, excellent third-down defense. Excellent second down defense. But the first half, you know, even the first half defense wasn't that great. The offense was the problem, but even the defense, they were bad the first half, the defense.
In terms of the rushing streaks, Lee, I believe they're still alive because the Bucs topped 100, even though Mayfield didn't run a lot today, Lee. He only ran twice for 13 yards. And somehow, even with the 29-yard run by Hurts, the Eagles were held under 100 yards rushing. So those streaks are still going. I think it's 12 games in a row, both sides. So that's impressive. You know, the Bucs are not getting out physical. They lost this game in the first 7 minutes. There's no other way to chop it up. They never had the lead. They're always chasing. Mayfield threw 40 balls. Probably want them throwing 33, 34.
Yeah. Now, I told you this at halftime, and I'll repeat it here for your listeners. You know, Eagles have a good defense. And you know how I can tell they have a good defense? You know the answer.
Oh, yeah, that was an excellent point by you.
They tackle.
Yeah, they tackle.
Teams that tackle seem to have good defenses. It's part and parcel.
I didn't like the Buck tackling in the first half. I didn't think it was very good.
It got better, obviously.
It got better.
Now,
got better.
Lavonte David is starting to catch some heat from some fans. What are your thoughts on Lavonte David?
Well, is he Lavonte David of, 2017, 2018 when he was... 28 years old. No, but he's still a really good player. Mm-hmm. He's still a really good player. He's effective on the blitz. And by the way, Lee, speaking of that, I think a guy who's still playing really well, week in, week out, is Tyke Smith.
Yeah.
Tyke Smith's playing good football.
He's a much better safety.
Yes. You know, I don't know if you remember the play because it got lost in the shuffle because Philly hung on and won, but Hurts had a 3rd and 2, and the game was still in the balance. Here comes Tyke Smith off the left side on a blitz, gets right in Hurts' face, forces an incompletion, mm-hmm. gave the Bucs a chance.
Yeah.
You know, he's an effective blitzer, this mm-hmm. guy. Him and Parrish, they're around the ball a lot. McCollum, I thought, played pretty well.
He didn't get burned, that I can think
of. You know, overall, I can't pick on the Buck defense.
Those two guys, Tyke Smith, Jake Parrish, they're going to be a twosome. A really solid twosome.
They're 22 years old,
man. Yeah, they're going to be a really solid twosome for this team a duo. They're going to be a dynamic duo for years.
I think Bowles has done a good job of putting Morrison in spots. Now he got hurt. I understand that. But getting him on the field, you know, just in case. Just in case Dean gets hurt. And sure enough, I don't know the extent of Dean's injury. I don't know it.
I don't know either.
But I think it's a groin.
Groin and hip. Boy, I mean, I hate to say it, but because I think he's a decent corner. You know, you can't depend on the guy because he's always hurt. You know, the old Bill Parcells line. You know, your best ability is your availability. I have to think this is the last year, especially when he redid his contract.
We know the Bucks know how to finish late. You know, they've proven that this season. Mm-hmm. But now you got to prove you know how to start. And that was the story of the game. Everybody was talking about it in the locker room. I don't know about the guys you talked to, but I'm sure they mentioned, we can't start like that. We can't start like that.
I talked to Heck and I talked to Kate Otten. Both of them said the same thing. Although Kate Otten was more specific about the third down offense. He's not wrong there. 12%, that's terrible.
Yeah, terrible.
Especially when you're playing.
And the Bucks led the league last year.
Yes, they did. When's the last time they had a game like this on third down?
It's been a long time.
Leftwich, maybe? That bad?
I'm not sure about the Washington playoff game, but I don't think they were this bad. Not this bad.
Not 12%.
We're going to be back this week, Lee. We're going to be back. And I know you're going to Seattle. You're looking forward to it. Little Hendrix Museum.
Well, they actually don't have a Hendrix Museum.
Or is it called the Experience Museum?
It's some kind of, well, it's a museum, and I think it's for, like, psychedelic music.
What if you walk in the front door and some cute blonde says, are you experienced, Lee DeKemper? That's a famous Hendrix song.
I know.
Are you experienced?
I know
what
song.
Are you going to tell it? What are you going to tell it?
I will say this, that I'm sure, or this museum we're speaking of, it does have a big exhibit of Hendrix, because that's where he's from, Seattle.
Yes.
But if you call San Francisco close, that's the closest I've ever been to Seattle. What's the next stop after Seattle? Vladivostok?
It's beautiful in the summer, Lee.
You're an old hockey guy. I heard Vancouver's really nice.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Was there many times with the Lightning group. Gorgeous.
Okay.
But we'll be back later in the week, Lee.
As always, thank you very much.